What is up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Come At Me, Bro. This is episode 21. I'm one of your hosts, Joey, joined alongside Drew.
Vegas, baby.
And Tyler and Baby Fabes.
Yo, Baby Fabes, shout out. Nothing. Okay, well, he's there.
Got a little giggle.
He'll shout out. He will shout out, I promise you that. Hey, but did you guys hear the Bills are going to the Super Bowl this year?
Oh, is that what's happening?
Yeah.
Sure.
Just saying. They're going to the Super Bowl. They're going to take all the average players they have that they've just picked up with Frank Gore and Cole Beasley now.
And John Brown,
and they're going to do work.
Okay, let's talk Buffalo Bills. So one of the big topics we have this week is the free agency stuff going on in the NFL. Buffalo Bills. So we have Cole Beasley, wide receiver, John Brown, wide receiver, Frank Gore, running back, who is super consistent. Frank Gore really amazes me. Even at his older age, he still is so consistent. Kevin Johnson at cornerback, Tyler Kroft, the young tight end from, I believe it was Cincinnati, Mitch Morse at center, and, oh gosh, I can't pronounce this one, Ty Nsekhe. The offensive tackle, and then Jordan Phillips at defensive tackle. So you guys have made a ton of moves. This is like 8-9 players right there.
Yeah, because we have tons of salary cap. We got the most salary cap.
With everyone saying the Bills are going to the Super Bowl, are you buying into this hype?
No.
Because I'm not buying in either.
No. They're going to the Super Bowl. They're going to the playoffs.
I could buy
I could buy playoffs,
yeah.
Who has a better chance of going to the playoffs, the Browns or the Bills?
The Browns.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. I think the Browns have a little ways to go.
I mean, they have a ways to go, but I think the Bills do as well. I mean, you're picking up a lot of aging players here to a degree. I mean, like Frank Gore is kind of aging. John Brown, he's younger, but he's getting up there. Cole Beasley, he's done well, but he hasn't done like amazing things. I feel like you guys are just kind of upgrading, but not like upgrading to an elite level.
All right. Well, the Browns were closer to playoffs than the Bills were, and they've made better moves. So,
for a second, I thought you said Asian players. I didn't think you said aging players. I was like, wow, Joey, that's racist.
Yeah. Gosh.
Oh my
gosh. But yes, we do have aging players. Luckily, all to like 1-year contracts. With Frank Gore, at least, I think it's like $2 million. So he's like chub change. Which I don't think we should spend $2 million for him, but the fact that we spend only about $14 million on Cole Beasley, who's, I don't know, I had students today talking about great receivers. Can you guys think of the top 5 receivers? Because one of these kids kept saying that Mike Evans was top 3. Would you agree or disagree with that?
Mike,
I would disagree with top 3. Go ahead, Drew.
I was gonna say at least top 10, but top 3 might be too much.
And what this kid's debate was the fact that he was actually, I think, either number 3 or number 2 in overall yards for the league with Mike Evans.
Well, it also depends like what you're looking at. Are we talking real football? Are we talking fantasy? Because you got to major all that in.
Real football.
Well, so then yardage is pretty huge then. Well, I mean, fantasy, comparatively speaking, like in real football, the touchdown doesn't matter as much as it does in fantasy because other players can produce that touchdown. But if you're moving the sticks, if you continue to get the yardage, that's kind of a big factor.
I'm talking about real football.
Right, so I would say yardage is a huge factor then. I would agree with your student. Now, I would disagree with him being top 3, though.
There you go. So that was the thing, is he even top 5 for the fact that he has the third most yards in the league as a receiver? Yes or no?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, gosh, I'm so tired. I'm trying to think of wide receivers in my head that I would rate in my top 5.
Julio Jones? Antonio Brown, those ring any bells, boys? Larry Fitzgerald?
I would not put Larry in there.
Again, I guess it still depends on how you're looking at it. But, like, I feel like he had so many yards because the Bucs were having to throw the ball a lot to catch up because we suck. So, of course, he got a lot of yards. Like, oh, yeah, we're just playing prevent defense because we're up by 60 points on you. We don't care if you get a bunch of yards.
All right, Julian Edelman or Mike Evans, who are you going to pick on your team for real football?
Edelman.
McDermott?
I mean, I'd have to look at who else I have on the team.
Oh,
like, if I want height, I'm going to go with Evans. But if I want, like, that playmaker, if I want someone who can fit in and do multiple things, I go Edelman. But it really depends who else I have on the team.
Look at you, realistic
A team is
person.
Multiple
I'm
people,
talking about
you know?
There's one pick left. It's a backyard football game. I mean, this is how you judge talent. you don't look at stupid statistics. You look at, all right, can they play? Yes. Do they have a talent? Do they have the ability to make plays? That is talent. That is called scouting. And yeah, you can go statistics all you want, but statistics work maybe in baseball, maybe in football.
Exactly my point.
If you're just looking at, but if you're just looking at pure talent, you're thinking, all right, I'm going to play a backyard football game. Who do I want? An egghead who's going to be a showboat like AB or Le'Veon Bell, who's going to complain about money? Or are you going to, you know, pick someone who's going to hit the dirt on the grindstone, whatever you call it, and get going and work hard and get things done? Or are you going to have a showstopper who has to be that spotlight on him at all times?
Right, it all really depends. Like, I personally like to win championships, so I'm going to look at the whole team outlook as opposed to just one player. But, I mean, if you're looking at the backyard football aspect, you easily go Edelman. You go with that one person who's able to spread the field, who's able to make big decisions. At the same point, though, if I'm looking at a team aspect, Mike Evans brings so much to the table as well with height. He completely opens up an end zone more than Edelman does.
Yeah, Edelman's a thug. Another reason why I don't take him, he's a thug. He takes cheap shots. He got fined. He was probably the most fined receiver because he'd take cheap shots down the field. He got fined like $50,000, probably more than that.
You're just making that number up.
No, I'm serious. I'm serious. Look it up.
But you just said he got fined $50,000, maybe more. I mean, like, that's just so out there.
I'm serious.
I'm sure he did get fined. I remember something about him racking
penalties. $63,000 for 3 unnecessary roughness calls.
There you go. Now that's cold hard facts right there.
Wow. Fact check. Thank you very much. Sounds like my facts align with over $50,000.
It is. It's over $50,000. And I will give you that. Now that we have a clear fact, they're my Bills fan.
All 3 of those were from the game against the Bills. So now we know why Tyler's exactly. so adamant here.
I'm excited to put the onesie Bills Mafia on Leo.
That's going to be awesome.
That poor kid.
So, how does Leo think these new wide receivers of yours, Beasley and Brown, are going to slot into the offense?
He thinks he can catch better than they can, but the fact that, I mean, Cole Beasley, I think we needed some veteranship on the receiver end, and it's not Calvin Benjamin because I hardly call him a veteran. He's more like a person who's big and... Thank you. There you go. That was Leo. Thank you, Leo, for supporting me. The fact that he can potentially catch the ball and he's just a big target, I mean... Calvin Benjamin's so big that, yeah, if you throw to him anywhere, it's probably going to hit him, but he's probably not going to catch it. The fact that we have Cole Beasley and John Brown, I'm more excited for Cole Beasley than John Brown. John Brown, we already have a Robert Foster, so I'm not, like, super excited for him. I'm hoping we get a receiver in the draft.
You'll have to.
But kind of turning ships around, I mean, you know one of the teams that lost big in this free agency? Pittsburgh. Lost a lot of players. It's right next door to Northern Virginia.
Please enlighten us.
The Baltimore Ravens. Oh, caw-caw, caw-caw. They're sinking a ship fast. They lost Terrell Suggs. They lost C.J. Mosley.
That's big.
They lost John Brown. I mean, not really big, but yeah. I mean, these are big defensive. They lost Weddle. These are big defensive players that made big defensive plays for this team to make the playoffs, and they're all gone.
Suggs was more presence than plays this last year. He was more about the leadership than what he actually did, but that's still important. They did pick up Earl Thomas, though, and Mark Ingram for each side of the ball.
Yeah, Mark Ingram, I mean, he's going to fit well with Lamar Jackson.
He's an upgrade to what they had, yeah.
Well, yeah, and Baltimore hasn't had a consistent running back since Ray Rice.
Yeah, we saw how that ended.
Right, so I think it's good that they bring in consistency. They have a veteran running back.
Did you hear the Ravens are going to get Kareem Hunt?
Oh, my gosh.
I thought somebody else signed him. Didn't.
They did.
Didn't the Browns sign him?
It's probably the Browns.
Go ahead, Drew. Fact check it.
I'm on it.
He's a fact checker. I like this. Fact check. So while Baltimore's lost everything.
Yeah, it was the Browns.
Yep, there you go. Who's gained the most? I mean, do you guys agree with Baltimore losing everything?
No.
No? What's another team?
I don't know if I can say that someone's lost more, but I just don't feel like they lost everything.
They lost their defense. They're done.
I mean, I feel like, yeah, I think Tyler's right. I think they lost quite a bit. I would say if you're looking at individual players, though, the Steelers have definitely lost big.
The biggest loss for Baltimore was C.J. Mosley. The other losses they can handle fine. Earl Thomas can step in for Eric Weddle. Suggs was going to get replaced this offseason anyway. C.J. Mosley's the big loss there. But that's one big loss. Yeah, Pittsburgh's lost a lot. Especially on offense. Talk about wasting what could have been one of the best offensive groups ever. And they don't make smart decisions with their money in Pittsburgh. Or maybe they're too smart with their money. That's a better way to put it.
I don't know if it's as necessarily money as it was just issues in the group. Like, there were things not meshing. Everyone's turning on Ben, it sounds like, at the end. So it seems like everyone is kind of on their own page, and that really doesn't work as far as team aspect goes. That's more like that backyard football mentality. So when you come into it all together, though, yeah, you're losing Le'Veon Bell, one of the best running backs in the league, to the New York Jets, and now you're losing Antonio Brown over to the Oakland Raiders. That definitely hurts Pittsburgh's offensive outlook.
Well, so it's interesting, like with the money thing, I read something the other day as an article about the whole deal with both of those players leaving. Pittsburgh doesn't do a lot of guaranteed money, and that's why they have a lot of guys that end up leaving and going elsewhere. They may offer them more total money, but the guaranteed money is a lot less, and it's because Pittsburgh wants to be able to get out of things a lot easier.
Mm.
So they actually really messed that up with how they rescheduled or restructured Brown's deal last year. It's really hurting him this year, but that's why he wanted out so much too, was he really didn't have any guaranteed money left.
Now, I can't speak on Brown, but I believe with Bell, they actually offered more guaranteed money and more total money than the Jets did.
That'd be interesting to know.
All right.
Yeah, you might have to fact check that, but I think I read an article on that yesterday.
Well, here's a question. What's more valuable, a receiver or a running back?
Oh, that's tough.
I mean, we know a quarterback, yeah, if you have a good quarterback, okay, you can go far. But, I mean, a receiver or a running back, I mean, who are you? You can only pick one to have on your backyard football team. Who are you going with?
I think I go running back, to be honest. And one of the reasons is I think you can end up with more mediocre wide receivers that can still spread the field. Yeah, they might not be as effective. They might not pull double coverage, but you can get the job done with the right plays. A running back, there's just something special about the way they break through the line. Not having a good one, they're either going to get stopped at the line, they're going to get stopped on the corner, but having that skill like Le'Veon Bell does is a completely different story, so I have to go running back here.
Yeah, me too, because you can always throw it to the running back. It's really hard to get receivers to just hand it off to and do it well.
Yeah, but, I mean, I would say running backs have the likelihood of getting injured. And I guess what I meant, not talent-wise, but who are you going to pay more? Are you going to pay a receiver more or a running back more? And in my case, I think you ended up paying maybe a receiver more because he can make plays down the field. He has much more longevity. We look at Larry Fitzgerald, who's just a beast. And he's been in the NFL forever, longer probably than Frank Gore, who probably is running off fumes by now. I mean, literally has nothing left in the tank, most likely, other than to be a, you know, get some money and, you know, be a veteran. For hopefully maybe we pick up a young running back in the draft. But if, you know, if you're looking at receiver and running back, I would say you pay receiver a little bit more. Running back, you can find someone to run the ball down the field. Yes, you can have a special playmaker, but I think you're going to pay a receiver more. And I would take a receiver over someone who can run the ball.
Now, if we're talking about pay, yeah, definitely wide receiver makes more money. And it's because of what you said, longevity. The running back's not going to last as long. The running back has a better chance of getting injured. But again, if it comes to just, let's say, for one season, that special playmaker, I go running back. It's just so much harder to find an elite running back than an elite wide receiver. Or the ability to work around what the elite running back can bring.
You guys been watching the AFL?
The AAF?
Oh, the AAF, whatever.
Oh, see, Tyler's really keeping up with it.
I have not.
Let's see what we are looking like standing-wise. My team is not doing that hot.
I know Memphis finally won a game.
You and I were sticking with the San Diego Fleet. Were you Memphis, Drew?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, they're 1-4. We all suck. So Memphis is at 1-4. They are last in their conference. And our San Diego Fleet are at 3-2. tied for first in the conference.
We're in the mix, baby. We're in the mixies.
We are tied for first in the conference. Net points. I don't know how we're in second, though. It must be head-to-head because we have more net points.
We're in the mixies, baby.
And I'm really not that dedicated to look up how tiebreakers work, at least at this point in the season.
Who knows if there's a championship?
Okay, let's talk about another one of your teams, the Cowboys, Drew. So you didn't pull in all these aging running backs and wide receivers, but you did pull in Jason Witten, who was retired and is now coming back. What are your thoughts on this one?
I'm actually really excited that he's coming back. They still don't have a tight end that can do anything, so he can at least teach these new guys some stuff. I think it's good. I think they need the leadership. I think that's something they're still kind of lacking, even if he can't do a lot, which they're, supposedly the plan is to have him do a lot. He's been working out and staying in shape, but we'll actually see if that translates. But that leadership, I think, is really important.
He can't work anything out, man. The guy is so old. There's no point in working out.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, you might as well have told me he sat on the couch all day. I mean, I'd still Cowboys would still pick him up whether he's working out or not.
Probably, but I don't know, I think it's a good move for everyone involved. I like the core they've got.
How much are they paying him?
It's not a lot guaranteed. A lot of it's incentives and playing time based, which is smart.
So he is older. Like, it looks like a base value of $3.5 million, and then it can work up to $5 million with incentives.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really not a bad deal for what you said, Drew. I mean, bringing him in as a veteran, teaching a young tight end. I don't know who they have young tight end-wise on the roster, but Jason Witten definitely brings experience. And I would not be surprised if this turns into him being like a tight end coach for the Cowboys later down the road.
That's exactly what they're thinking. A lot of people, even outside of the organization, view him as a coaching candidate. So I think it's part of what they're thinking. But I think he'll actually play, too, and have an impact. And then they've only held on to a couple of free agents. They haven't really done any kind of big signings beyond re-signing Cameron Fleming, who was a great depth offensive lineman for them this last year. And they re-signed their fullback, which they're one of the few teams in the league who actually hold on to a fullback. But I think that's good, too. Again, that blocking and making the running game happen.
Right.
I wish they would do a little more. I wish they'd be a little more aggressive because they do have the money to spend. But, you know, getting deals with the guys they've got and looking at the draft are the most important things for them.
Okay, let's
look at
They're
not going to put him as a blocker. They're not going to put him as a blocker.
Now, they've got tight ends that can block. They just don't have any that can catch.
This is excellent. The mute the baby over here as we're watching this on screen for this video here. It's good times. The Cleveland Browns. So Odell Beckham and Oliver Vernon, the defensive end, are headed to the Cleveland Browns from the Giants, with Jabril Peppers being the big move from the Browns to the Giants. So Beckham, elite wide receiver. He's not really produced as much these past couple of years. He's spent a lot of his time on the sidelines kicking nets that he shouldn't be kicking and throwing down. But he has a lot of emotional play. When he's playing with his head in the game, he's one of the best wide receivers in the league. I would argue I'd place him in the top five. With that being said, he's now going to the Cleveland Browns. He's moving away from Eli, who might have added in some of the issues and became part of the reason he had to make these miracle catches. But now he's going to be playing with a different quarterback under a different organization. Is Beckham going to reemerge himself as a top wide receiver with more consistency behind him?
Absolutely.
All right, wait, is he a top five receiver? Do we agree with that?
I think he's top five.
I think he's a thug.
I think he's got the talent of a top five receiver.
Yeah, you can be a thug and a top five receiver at the same time.
Not when he fights.
T.O. And Randy Moss both did it.
Right.
They're both massive thugs.
Okay, he has a little talent.
Yeah, all right. He has a little talent. I'm excited because him and Jarvis Landry are together again. You know, they were teammates in college at LSU, and they were ridiculous.
When were they again before?
In college, they played at LSU together.
Oh, that's cute.
I think Mettenberger was their quarterback, actually.
Who was?
Zach Mettenberger.
Baker Mayfield?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm excited. I think it's going to be good. I think that offense is really set to just explode. When we saw what Mayfield was able to do with him, you know, for two-thirds of the season, so I think giving him even more weapons and adding a couple people to that line that they did. I think Beckham is going to have a career year.
I mean, not only that, the team is strong on offense, but they're also very strong on defense, and they've made good additions there, too. Sheldon Richardson coming in from the Vikings, defensive tackle signing a 3-year deal. Again, like you said, Drew, strengthening the offensive line, re-signing Greg Robinson. This Cleveland Browns team is one to look out for, and I think they actually scoot into the playoffs this next year.
I like Nick Chubb.
I do, too. Loved him in fantasy.
I'm picking him in fantasy. All right.
So, are the Browns going to win their division? You know, you got the Bengals, who they're definitely better than, but Pittsburgh still has Big Ben and Juju Smith-Schuster. The Ravens lost some pieces, but they've added a couple, and they're not done yet. So they could both be competitive there, too. Are the Browns going to win their division?
They'll come second, and the reason why I say that is because now that the cancers of Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown are gone, I expect that locker room to be a little bit better, and Big Ben and the rest of the Steelers are going to have everything under control, because guess what you need for a good running back? You need a good offensive line, and the Steelers, I believe, still have that intact, and they still almost made the playoffs with all that crap going on. And so now that they don't have that crap, that is a huge load off of Big Ben and the entire organization, and that is going to most likely propel them to stay at number one.
I think my big question mark with the Steelers is not as much the running back and offensive line as it is Antonio Brown being gone. They've had Brown for so many years pulling double coverage in a lot of situations. Now that he's not there, I'm wondering who's going to step up into those roles. You're obviously not going to fill the shoes of Antonio Brown that quickly. Smith-Schuster is a great wide receiver, but again, that's still big shoes to fill. I'm wondering who's going to line up beside him. Who are those other wide receivers that can be the next Smith-Schuster in those shoes? So it's really a lot of question marks as far as that goes, because the whole offense needs to really change depending on how that playbook looks with a big elite wide receiver out of it. So I have a lot of question marks with the Steelers. Like Tyler said, though, I think it is going to be a cooler locker room. I think a lot of the tension is going to start finding its way out, but it is going to take some time to adjust. So for me, I don't know. I feel like I can guarantee playoffs for the Browns. I don't know if I'm ready to guarantee them first, though.
I got to say, I don't like how Pittsburgh handles a lot of things. It took them way too long to get rid of Todd Haley, for one. But one thing I have to give them major props for is the fact that they are keeping Ryan Shazier on their roster on the PUP list, so that he keeps getting to draw his salary and keeps getting his medical benefits for his recovery. I think that's really cool. He's not going to contribute to that team at all this year from a football standpoint, but they're keeping him around to make sure that he continues to be taken care of, which is just awesome.
Okay, we got a little bit of time left. I do want to jump on a few more of these teams, one of them being the Detroit Lions. No one's really talking about this Detroit Lions team, but they are making some pretty decent moves here. Danny Amendola, wide receiver, got picked up. Justin Coleman at cornerback. Trey Flowers, defensive line. And Jesse James, the tight end from Pittsburgh. Again, not top-of-the-line players, but these are not bad pickups either for the Lions.
Tell me about on offense again. Who'd they pick up?
Amendola. Yes. And they also picked up Jesse James, the tight end from Pittsburgh, who was the starter there.
I think Amendola is the biggest addition for them. That's a team that continues to be so close, but they end up losing a couple pieces or just are missing a couple pieces and they can't quite get there. And I think these are the kind of moves they need to make to really fit into a competitive mindset and be able to knock some teams off. I guess I'm just curious to see what ends up happening or if they're just going to let me down again. I hate for Matt Stafford that he's wasted so much of his career there. Except that he's getting paid a stupid amount of money. So.
I mean, he's like another Philip Rivers. Matthew Stafford will go down like Philip Rivers. Bunch of stats, great player, never go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things I really like about Detroit, too, is they know how to use the tight end position very well. Now you're bringing in one who didn't really find his footing at Pittsburgh, but he showed flashes of potential here and there in Jesse James. I think having him as a rocket tight end is definitely going to help this offense continue to move forward and find new ways to excel as well. Gosh, I've been holding that coffin. Other than that, are there any other big moves that you guys have really seen? We touched a little bit on Le'Veon Bell going to the Jets and Antonio Brown going to Oakland. Do you guys want to break down those moves anymore?
I'm thinking with Oakland, last year when they were doing stuff, I thought, what are they doing? They're sabotaging themselves. And, you know, it played out, their season played out exactly like we thought it would after seeing some of the moves they made. But then this offseason, I feel like they're turning it around, picking up Antonio Brown, using some of that draft capital that they accrued. Plus, they picked up Tyrell Williams from the Chargers. That gives them a fantastic 1-2 punch to go with some of the level 2, level 3 kind of guys that they already had. They needed that true 1-2, and now they've got that to go with those guys and make them even better. I don't remember who they picked up on as a running back. They signed somebody. Or traded for somebody. I don't remember who it was, but I thought that was a good move, too.
I don't think they've made a running back move yet.
I was thinking they did. Okay. Well,
but they made one who's going to open it up. They have Trent Brown coming in from the Patriots as offensive tackle. I think that's going to be a huge move.
I still have my doubts about what Gruden's going to do with this team, but I guess I'll see how it goes, but I feel like they've made some good moves to kind of make up for the stupidity that was what they did last year. So maybe someone actually does know what they're doing.
You sound so confident saying that.
I'm just still so burned by what they did. They were so close, and then they blew it all up. It just was dumb, I thought. But maybe they fixed it. But I'm not holding on to any of the teams in that division. They keep letting me down. So
nah, I think they're making great moves. But again, like you said, Drew, they were so close and they let it all go. So I've lost faith in this organization, at least for the next couple of years. I just don't see them turning it around. You can bring in stars like both these Brown guys. Trent Brown is great on the offensive side. So is Antonio on Tyrell Williams. I think he has a lot still to prove, but he definitely has the raw talent there. But overall, this Raiders team, just, again, they were so close, and yet they blew it up. And just somehow, these pieces that continue to go there continue to either get traded away or fall apart. So for me, I don't know if I'm ready to buy in. And I'm also not ready to buy into the Jets. We have Henry Anderson coming in as defensive line. Le'Veon Bell, the running back, the star running back signing there. Josh Bellamy and Jamison Crowder at wide receiver. C.J. Mosley is a great pickup at linebacker. And then Kelechi Osmele coming in as the offensive guard. So, good pickups from the Jets. At the same point, again, I don't know if I'm ready to buy into the organization yet.
I'm willing to buy in on their defense, but that's usually the case with the Jets. I'm still ready to buy in on their offense, though. You know, I'm just going to go ahead and say it. I don't have a lot of faith in Le'Veon Bell. I mean, now he's got his money. What does he have to play for? Like, why are they expecting him to come in and bust his butt and give it everything that he's got now that he's been paid? And he was out for a year. I don't see him coming in and being the same player that he was in Pittsburgh. I could be wrong. Maybe Sammy D will be able to pull something out of him. But I don't see that offense being a whole lot better than it was last year. But the defense will at least be better, so they won't get blown out as bad.
I mean, I think the offense gets a big upgrade here in multiple positions. At the same point, like you said, I don't know if Bell is going to be the factor we saw before. He's tons of talent just mixed up into his body. He's a great running back who really finds the hole well. At the same point, though, we're looking at a guy who's been removed from contact for about a year at this point. On top of that, like you said, he just got paid a huge contract. I think he comes in with something to prove. He's going to have a chip on his shoulder. He wants to show, hey, Pittsburgh should have signed me for this reason. At the same point, if it gets into that grungy part of the season and injuries are likely, I don't know if we see Bell making some of the runs he used to in his earlier years.
Right. He's got his money. Why is he going to risk his body?
Now, C.J. Mosley on the other side, that is a beautiful pickup.
Yeah, that's fantastic for them. And I'm excited for him. He earned that payday. Great player. The thing that I think is kind of not really hurt the Jets, they have plenty of time to make up for it, but I'm just trying to imagine if Anthony Barr had actually signed with them instead of backing out and going back to the Vikings. Like, that would have made that defense even scarier.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Is that the only real snub that we saw from the early tampering period to when they actually announced make signings official? Is that the only one that really changed?
No, this is funny, actually. The Buffalo Bills So Antonio Brown and the Buffalo Bills nearly agreed to a deal about a day or two before he ended up going and signing with Oakland.
Okay.
Fake news.
Yeah, so that was the other big one. And it's been reported that it was, like, true. It was not just a rumor that he was near signing with the Bills.
I guess the only other thing like that I saw was that originally they said Bridgewater was going to sign a deal to stay backup for New Orleans, but now he's meeting with the Miami camp.
I did not see the Bridgewater stuff. Interesting, okay.
Yeah, well, I know they're talking about moving on from Tannehill, so
wow. That
might be the way they do it.
I mean, Tannehill has just been so injury-prone the last couple of years, and at this point, like, he comes in as this bright talent, but after season of injury, you have to eventually start to move on because you can't invest more and more time into him. At this point, he's going to be a veteran more than a rookie with a bunch of potential, so why do we want to keep investing when we can start bringing up younger players?
Well, I think he needs to go somewhere else, too. I think it's not going to be another case of he's done what he can do in Miami, and he's never going to get any higher there. He may never get any higher anywhere else, but if it's going to happen, it's not going to happen in Miami. It's going to have to happen somewhere else. Maybe he does the thing where he's a backup for a year and then becomes a starter again. Who knows?
Just put him to Arizona.
They need it.
Yeah, I don't even know. Who's the starting quarterback over there now?
Rosen.
Is he still?
Yeah.
Until they trade him.
Yeah, until they trade him and pick up Kyler Murray.
Oh gosh,
Dwayne Haskins.
Kyler Murray, that is the next Tebow right there. Kyler Murray is the next Tebow.
He's no already lie. So much better than Tebow, though.
Well, I know he's better talent wise than Tebow, but he is literally the next Tebow. The way they're hyping him up and stuff.
Oh.
I mean, it is. Babies are just crying right now. The fact that, you know, Arizona fans are crying for the fact that they're trying to go for Kyler Murray. Listen to him.
Okay, but hey, they are making some good moves. Not only a quarterback, but they are picking up linemen. Marcus Gilbert coming in from the Steelers and then J.R. Sweezy from the Seattle Seahawks. I think those are both good moves because you're not only looking at picking up a quarterback, that line has looked terrible. Even David Johnson was struggling to run behind it. I think these are really good moves to build up something.
It's really what they need. They've got enough to do something on offense if they can just have a little bit of time.
He feels the exact same way.
Yes, he does.
The Cardinals made me want to cry last year, too. I'm glad I didn't own too many of them in fantasy.
Yeah, no. I traded for David Johnson early on in the season, and that was it.
Yeah, no way in hell I ever touched David Johnson again.
No.
Freaking number one pick that went down and screwed my whole roster. Yeah, no thank you. He can run all he wants out there. I don't care what his line looks like. No, senor.
Tyler with the handoff.
Yep. And now he's trying to find the unmute button.
And there he goes in the sunset.
There we go.
There he goes in the sunset. Yes, my wife is so happy with me. She wants to rip my... you know what off. You can fill in the blank there.
We're almost done, though. Is there anything else you guys want to cover in these last couple minutes?
Selection Sunday on Sunday. I'm excited.
What was that?
How about them Lakers?
I'm bored.
Lakers? So is LeBron still the GOAT since he didn't make the playoffs this year?
Nope. I mean, LeBron is still incredibly talented, in my opinion, regardless of who you put him with. But he is with a new team. He ended up taking the paycheck to go out to L.A. I think it's going to take a couple years to build something out there. He was able to do it with Cleveland, but he's getting up there in age. He still has plenty of years left, don't get me wrong. But at the same point, you're playing with a whole different set of players. You're not playing with the Cleveland players that kind of were built around you. So it's going to take some time to do anything out there, I have a feeling. It's going to be at least another season.
I don't think this hurts his GOAT status any.
No, he's still buying.
The debate is still there.
He's still what?
Buying, like a goat. What noise do they make? Bar.
He's still, oh my gosh.
It's kind of like a sheep goat.
Just look at the Taylor Swift song.
Yeah, there you go.
Damn goat.
I don't know what we're talking about.
This podcast has been quite interesting, to say the least. We've been a little all over the place.
Yep, I think we're done.
Yeah, I think we're about there too. Tyler, you want to add a little note in for the listeners?
Stay thirsty, my friends.
Perfect. Yeah, please stay thirsty. Water is great for you. H2O. You can find us on social media at CAMB Podcast. You can also email us at CAMBpodcast@otnmedia.org. Last but not least, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/OTN if you'd like to donate to this show and everything we do here at OTN. There's some sweet exclusives that come along with that. Check it out. Thank you again for listening, guys. This has been episode 21 of Come At Me, Bro. And you can come right back next week.
This podcast is part of the Overtime Network. Get more at overtimenetwork.com.